Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of our Magnum Opus podcast. Today, I'm going to try an adventure with you guys out there. I am going to talk about an intro to music theory with everybody. And this will be a bit of an adventure because I don't have a whiteboard or a blackboard or anything else or a way to showcase what I'm talking about. I can't really draw it out. So what I'm going to do is kind of compress these ideas down and just give a very basic, very general overview of what is music theory. And the goal of this really is to just open that door just a crack so that anybody who's had just a hint, just a whiff of curiosity of what it might be, this should just pique your interest and help determine if it's something you want to learn more about. Now, every musician should have at least a fundamental understanding of music theory. But of course, when we're performing and when we're practicing, it can be really hard to find the time to just do general review, to even just learn about it, or even study it in school. So we're going to start today with, we're going to kind of build off of the blueprint that we did last week. And if you don't remember last week's podcast, we talked about the elements of music. We had pitch, duration, dynamics, tempo, timbre, texture, and structure. Say that 7 times fast. So, pitch, duration, dynamics, tempo, timbre, texture, and structure. You can get a review of all of those in last week's episode, but today we're going to talk about music theory, and where else would we begin except with a chord? What is a chord? The literal definition of a chord is playing two or more notes together. So unfortunately, most wind players cannot play chords. They just play one note at a time. However, string instruments, including the piano, they have the advantage because they can play chords. They can play two or more pitches at the same time. One more thing to remember about chords is that they are typically used as a basis of harmony. So that means that you don't just play three random notes, but you play three notes structured to a scale. Let's take one step back. What is a scale? A scale is a division of the octave spaced into certain steps. Most of us, we can recognize an 8-step scale. For example, from C to C. That's the most friendly scale because there are no sharps or flats. C, D, E, F, G, A, B, C. We went from one octave to another and we divided the scale into not equal but 7 different steps. Now, a chord in C major, the most popular chord is called the major chord, and we would devise that from the root or the first note. This is also called the tonic, so that would be C. Pretty easy to remember because it's the key of C, so the tonic is C. Then we take the third note, which means we have to skip friendly old D and we go straight to E. So far we're building a chord with C as our root and then E as our second note. And finally we end this chord with G, the fifth note in the scale. C, D, E, F, G. But of course we're only going to play C, E, and G. You piano players out there have a distinct advantage because you guys love to play chordal warm-ups and you guys learn a little bit more about theory because you're piano is literally laid out key by key, note by note, so it's a little bit easier to visualize. Us violinists, violists, cellists, bassists out there, we don't get the chance as much. We're not necessarily chordal first instruments like a guitar or a piano might be. So now we're going to talk about key signatures. Well, what the heck is a key signature? Of course, hopefully by now we know that a key signature is almost like the legend to a map. It just tells us what the key we're going to play in, how many sharps there are, how many flats there are. The key of C has 0 sharps and 0 flats. But why is that? Let's back it up just a second. So the scale, which was of course our division of the octave, spaced into a certain number of scalar steps. It all has to do with the scale. And if I lose you at this point in time, it's absolutely okay. There are wonderful resources out there, including Wikipedia, if you really want to look. But my favorite place is musictheory.net. It can break everything down here for you into much simpler steps, and it actually walks you through because it can show everything on your browser as well. So you get a visual help. A scale is broken down into a series of whole step, half step, whole step, whole step, whole step, half step. But what the heck does that mean? So a whole step in music is the space from one tone to the next. A to B, for example, is a whole step. Violinists or any other string instrument with tapes out there, you can picture a whole step as the space, the larger space from your first tape to your second tape. On any of your four strings, this is a whole step. A half step is, of course, half as large as that. So it's a much smaller interval between two notes. It's actually the smallest interval in Western music that we use. And woof, it's extremely dissonant if you ever play like two half steps together. For piano players out there, these are any two adjacent keys. So one white key to the very next black key, or sometimes it's two white keys close together, like B to C or E to F. These are half steps. Okay, if I've lost you, that's all right. Go check out that musictheory.net website. They have wonderful explanations for all this. But we're going to return to a scale. So every single Western major scale has that same pattern of whole steps and half steps. And that pattern was whole step, half step, whole step, whole step, whole step, half step. And we use this pattern to determine the key signature for every single key. What? What? Okay, let's break it down here. Let's look at C major again, our friendly key. We already know that C major has zero sharps and zero flats. But now let's go back and let's use that pattern. Whole, whole, half, whole, whole, half. And let's do it together. So we start on C, of course. We have to go up a whole step to D. That's step one. We have to go up another whole step to E. After this, we go up a half step to F natural. From F natural, we go up a whole step to G. Whole step up from that is A. One final whole step up is B natural. And then we have our last half step, which brings us back to C. Check it out. We've just traveled an entire octave. And that is how we know that the key of C has zero sharps and zero flats. Because after that pattern, there were no sharps or no flats. Let's do another one really quick. D major. Now, I already know that D major has F sharp and C sharp in it. But let's double check here. So we start on D, we have to go up a whole step, E. Now we have to go to another whole step. Well, we know E to F natural is a half step, so this has to be E to F sharp. So one more time, D to E is a whole step, E to F sharp is a whole step. But the pattern now says half step, so we have to go F sharp up a half step to G. Up another whole step is now A, one more whole step is B. Now we have to do another whole step, so we have C sharp, and then finally our last half step is D. So if I were to give you a crazy key right now and say, find out how many sharps are in A major, you can find out the answer by doing the exact same thing we did. Start on the letter A, it's nice because it's at the beginning of the alphabet, and then follow that pattern. Whole step, half step, whole step, whole step, whole step, half step. Why is that the pattern? That's a really great question that I don't necessarily have the answer to. It is over hundreds of years of music evolution specific to Western music, which is pretty much Europe and the United States. This is kind of where music evolved. It's what we decided our ears liked to hear and tonality and all that fun stuff. There are many, many more, like an uncountable number of other musical scales out there. Remember, this pattern was only for the major scale. There's minors, and there's Aeolians, and there's Dorians. There's like, that's, again, just the Western music. There's limitless scales out there. So, if that boggles your mind, go check out musictheory.net. Now we're going to branch off a little bit and talk about scales in general. There are 12 different major scales, and hopefully you've heard by now of the circle of fifths, or if you are a brass or band player, usually you hear of the circle of fourths. These are the exact same circle, just gone in different directions. One goes to the left, one goes to the right. Hopefully you've heard of the circle of fifths. If you haven't, do this for me. could you draw a circle, doesn't matter how big, just big enough you can write in and out of it, and at the very top of the circle, write our favorite letter, C. So it's almost like a clock. At 12 o'clock, you are writing the letter C. At 1 o'clock, we're going to write the letter G, as in giraffe. Now, we have not talked about intervals, but very briefly, intervals are, well, the interval between two pitches. It's pretty much a measurement of how far apart two pitches are. So if I measure C to D, we know they're a whole step apart, so we call them a second. You can count one number between the two, or one letter rather, so they are a second. C to E is a third, and if you remember, that's part of our tonic chord. C to F is a fourth. C to G is a fifth. So intervals, you can count up the letters that you go from C to D, that's a second, D to E, three, E to F, four, F to G, five. Remember, that's all the distance from our bass note of C. The circle of fifths, as you may have guessed, we travel five notes up from C, and that's how we get to G. C, D, E, F, G. That is five. Now, G major has one sharp. Spoiler alert. And now, hopefully, we're going to see the pattern here. At 2 o'clock in our little circle, we're going to write the letter D, as in Drew. Why, thank you. D major has, if you had to guess, how many sharps? Hopefully you said two, because we did just talk about it. Now, the way I know it is D, because now we're going to start on G, and we're going to count up five more notes. G, A, B, C, and D. Boom, that's five. Now we just went from C to G by an interval of a fifth, and now we went again from G to D by an interval of another fifth. C major has zero sharps, G major has one sharp, D major has two sharps. Oh, I think I see where this is going. Let's do three sharps together. We know the next letter has to have three sharps, but what the heck key is that? Well, let's start on D. And let's count up five notes. D, E, F sharp, right? G, and then A. So now at the 3 o'clock slot in your clock, you can write A, and that has three sharps. Let's do one more. A, after A, we know it has to have four sharps. Let's go. A, B, C sharp, that's part of the key signature. D, and E. So we have E as our next key at four sharps. That is the circle of fifths. You can continue to do this all the way around the circle, and you will end up back at C. Let's go the other way just for fun. This, if you go to the left, so from 12 o'clock to 11 o'clock, this is called the circle of fourths. We again start on C, because that is right at 12 o'clock. But as you may have guessed, instead of traveling an interval of a fifth, we travel an interval of a fourth. So let's do it together really quick. C, D, E, F. At 11 o'clock in your clock, go ahead and write the letter F. And this does not have one sharp. This instead has one flat. So this circle of fifths helps determine the order of sharps. Circle of fourths helps determine our order of flats. Let's do another one in the circle of fourths. We have to start on F, F, G, A, B flat. Now I know it's B flat because that is the key signature for F. I think next week you and I are going to talk about key signatures specifically. Not scales, not intervals. We're going to talk about how to identify if I said name six sharps in a row, how you can be able to do that, because we're unfortunately out of time for today. But thank you everybody for joining me. Our big thing that we worked on this week was intro to music theory. And remember, if any of this is boggling your mind and hurting your brain, check out musictheory.net for more introductory music information. Thank you, guys. Have a wonderful rest of your week, and I will see you next time.